Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick. Welcome to this week's HopeCast, one that I feel like is necessary to address because of what's going on in our culture right now. My friend Jen Houston joins me as she does regularly on these weekly HopeCasts. Jen, thank you for being with me again.
Thank you so much for having me, David.
Well, where were you Monday night? Around 10 o'clock or so is when my notice came on my phone that a leak had happened at the Supreme Court level. We're not sure from where that leak came, saying there is a written finalized form of the Dobbs and Mississippi case regarding Roe versus Wade being overturned. I looked first at my phone when I saw the note come across and went, did I just read that rightly? And then I went from the baseball game I was watching on my phone quickly to the news and saw, indeed, that is what had happened. Jen, were you aware that Monday night that that decision had been made?
I found out early Tuesday morning, actually.
Well, it is shocking. It's surprising on a multitude of different levels. And the first question I think that we need to address today is, why was it leaked at this point in our American political process? And I'd like to offer these five reasons, and any one of them or all of them could be correct. The first is, I think some people on the left in the Democratic Party are trying to change the narrative of the Biden administration's success thus far after 16 months or so. Let's just say, in my humble opinion, his administration has been disastrous. Whether you're talking about inflation or the withdrawal from Afghanistan or the present day involvement in the Ukraine, whatever it might be, his administration and its leadership has been disastrous. It has not been successful at all. So I wonder if there aren't Democrats who are trying to take away from that particular focus, knowing that the November midterms could be a bloodbath and cause a red tsunami like we've seldom seen before politically. And they're trying to make the abortion issue the issue, trying to, if you will, energize the base of the Democratic Party who are pro-choice and get them to start being energized for the midterms and change the narrative from Biden's unsuccessful leadership to the abortion issue.
I think you could be onto something here, David, and that goes along with a thought that I've had recently is all of my friends who are left and far left, you know, leading up to the election, Biden was in their reels all over the social media. And as soon as his leadership began, it's been radio silence up until this week. His name is popping back up in their support, their vocal support of him, and I think you're onto something.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. And as we look at the Virginia gubernatorial election, where there were a good number of purple and blue voters who went red in voting for Governor Glenn Youngkin, I think the handwriting has been on the wall for some time, and this is, again, a way to energize the left Democratic base to a different narrative than what's been suggested. Number two, I think this was leaked by someone to put pressure on the conservative justices, the five who have agreed to this position. John Roberts is trying to, I think, cut the baby in half, to use Solomonic language from the Bible, which really pleases no one. His idea, I think, was to get rid of Roe, but try to keep Casey, the 92 decision, which just isn't possible. So we don't know if it's a 5-4 vote or a 6-3 vote, but it doesn't really matter as long as you have five justices. I think this was leaked for the American public to get angry, for you to see threats upon the Supreme Court building, if you will, to see riots break out across America, and that might change a couple of the conservative votes to a blue leftist perspective and thus keep Roe versus Wade in its wheelhouse.
Well, I would agree with that as well. I think that's a valid point. And the phrase that crossed my mind earlier this morning in preparation for our conversation was, is this an internal insurrection?
You wonder about that. As the right has had to have the moniker of January the 6th hung upon them and the whole Trump transition of power question a year plus ago. Now you have this being hung on the left as a moniker of, look, this is your own insurrection. In the history of the courts, there has never been anything like this. This is a precedent of monumental proportions. Now, there have been leaks beforehand, but never has the whole document, as we know it to be released to the entire world. Now, that's partly a computer online issue that we've had only for the last 20 plus years. But still, in precedence, this is extraordinary and has never happened before.
Yeah, I totally agree. And just to be clear, we know this is a draft, and I've heard that it was a draft from February, maybe. Did you hear that
Correct.
As well? Okay.
Written by Judge Samuel Alito. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that he was chosen to write the draft and not Judge John Roberts, because he's probably still waffling on his position. But Alito, being a very conservative member, was asked to write the decision, which suggests that it was made and it has been done.
Wow. Well, one more comment before you move on to your next point. I heard that a lot of the blue checks, you know, which states that you have influence in social media and online, are actually celebrating this leak. And nobody has come out really from the left to condemn this anarchy, this overturning of law and order.
Well, this leads to the next position. Why did this happen? It could well be that the leftists are crying out stare decisis, which means precedence, which means look at the last 50 years. Roe versus Wade has become the law of the land. It's been upheld in precedence with the Casey decision and some others. How dare we overturn this particular precedent? We just don't do it. And this release, this leak, puts pressure on conservative justices to maintain that stare decisis idea. But the problem there, Jen, is with, for example, the Dred Scott decision and racism and making that the law of the land for some decades, that was long the law of the land, over 50 plus years, but it was eventually overturned, as have been other decisions overturned as well, for a multitude of different reasons, the least of which might be because society has changed in their different perspectives, or science has given us more insights into certain things, or bottom line, the justices in some era just got it wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening here, is at least five justices are saying in 1973, the Supreme Court exceeded its right to do what it did. It took on the motivation of being a lawmaker and not a judicial branch of the government. And when that happened, you took away from the people their right to vote their officials into office, who would then reflect their values. With the Supreme Court operating the way it did for 50 plus years in making this decision, the people of the land have no way to overturn a lifetime appointment of a judge to a particular seat. So for many people, they feel like this is a reversal of that particular wrong. But I think leftists with this release are trying to say, hey, look at precedents. We need to overturn this particular document because there is precedence over the last 50 years.
Well, I think this is a valid point, and thank you so much for the civics lesson. I think this is very enlightening.
We have three branches of government. There is the executive, legislative, and judicial branches, and the judicial branch is supposed to interpret law, not make law. Not Roe versus Wade, for many people, was the making of law of something that is not in our Constitution. They take the due process clause of the 14th Amendment and apply that to a woman's right to choose. That has a whole nother issue as well. If now we really do honor the 14th Amendment and the due process idea, is that a child in the womb, and when does life begin? Most every major religion in the world has said at the moment of conception is when life begins, and that's why this argument is so hugely powerful for so many people, looking at the possibility of 62 million lives that have been lost since 1973. And many people ask the question, could one of those been the person who would cure cancer, mm-hmm. or find the cure to COVID, or whatever that could be? Who are we to make that decision ourselves? Which leads to another position I think the leftists hold, is they're making this known and the release of this document known in order for the legislatures in the House of Representatives to make a law to codify abortion as a part of our federal regulations, which then means that all states, all 50, and everybody in those have no right except to be under that law and to obey that as being a law. Now, in order for that to happen, for the civics lesson to go to another step, you've got to not only have just a 51-49 vote, and the Senate right now is divided 50-50, you've got to overcome the filibuster problem in the Senate, which means 60 people have to vote to end the filibuster in order for there to be a vote for this legislation to actually happen, if it should happen. There's no understanding if it will happen, but if it does, there's no way it's going to pass the filibuster muster, if you will, and it become a law of the land.
Wow. Well, I appreciate the fact that we are called the United States of America, and I think the power needs to be given back to the states. And I feel like in my convictions, that's where those decisions need to be made.
Well, let's hold on to that one as I present the fifth and final reason I think that this was leaked by someone, a Supreme Court justice, if indeed that happened, and it's proven that's possible impeachment upon that person for leaking it, or whether it was someone at a lower level who was connected to someone who leaked it. We just don't know. I pray we'll find out who did that, because I think they need to be held accountable for this grievous, egregious crime against our processes and procedures in the United States. But here's a final thought. I think the left wants to court pack. I think they want to make the Supreme Court larger, from 9 to 12, maybe even 9 to 18, because they know they have right now the ability to control the legislative branch, the House of Representatives and the Senate. They control at present the executive branch, the presidency, but they don't control the judicial branch. And the way they can control all three branches to do whatever they want to, legislatively, socially, whatever, is to court pack and get that number of liberal justices larger so that they can make judicial decisions that they feel comfortable with.
And so you think the leak of this and the timing of that would give them this opportunity at such a time as this before they lose some power in, say, the House of Representatives?
It is a midterm election boondoggle, if you will, a motivator to try to get something done now to codify abortion into federal law, which leads to your statement just a second ago is, look, if this is the case, what does this really do? It returns the abortion decision to the states, and it allows citizens in each state to elect elected officials who represent their particular view. And for those who've been on the forefront of the pro-life movement since 1973, they'll tell you this doesn't solve the problem. It only intensifies the problem, but takes it to the states. And you know, I believe in something called subsidiarity. It's a theological position that the smaller the unit, the better the decisions that are made. And I think that's why the nuclear or the natural family is so important, because that's the best way to raise children, the best place to make decisions, to teach people the right thing to do. But then also at the city and state level is a better way to make decisions rather than the federal level, which is speaking against the Congress codifying a law on abortion that doesn't allow anyone in any particular state to have any say whatsoever. A person voting at the state and city local level should have the right to choose their own representatives, and that's what's going to happen here. The intensity of the abortion debate will now go to the states, and what you're going to see is a disunity in the United States of America. You're going to have blue or maybe even purple states that allow abortion at some level, and you're also going to have red states that will not allow it at some level. The United States right now is alongside such places as Canada, which may have the most liberal abortion laws across the board than any country in the world. You can take the life of the child up until the very last moment. The United States has similar kinds of laws in particular states, but not red ones, that want to narrow the idea of abortion and people's right to choose. But then you also have other nations like China, North Korea, and Vietnam having the most liberal abortion laws in the world, and I wouldn't think they are the most commonplace bedfellows that we would like to have on our side, no matter what the position may be. So we operate out of this sense of, well, then what's the right thing to do? And I must look at life from a biblical worldview. You know, Jen, we've talked about this a lot. This HopeCast is to try to give people an opportunity to think biblically. Everybody looks at life through the lenses of something. I encourage everyone to look through the lenses of a biblical worldview about all of life's issues. So as you approach the abortion issue, here are my particular perspectives from God's Word. First of all, God's Word talks about creating a culture of life. That's why when food laws were given, the Israelites were told not to eat of the blood. Well, those kosher laws seem strange for some of us, except God wanted from the very first day the Israelites to value life. Life is in the blood, Leviticus 17. So even in their eating, they are not to eat the blood because God wanted them to have a culture of life, not a culture of death. Moreover, you have in Genesis 1:27 that we're created in the image of God. And if God gives us life as image bearers, when does that image of God become imprinted on a life? It's got to be at conception. When else could it be? And you think biblically again that in the Bible, in the Gospel of Luke, when John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb leapt, when Mary, who had Jesus in her womb, entered the room, showing thus that that was a child, the word used for child there, blepos. It's the same word Jesus uses as an adult when he says, let the little children come to me. There's no question biblically that at the moment of conception, there is a child in that womb. So that child has the image of God stamped on him, his or her life. And therefore, we think the 14th Amendment must protect in due process that life that is in the womb of that mother. So the argument from the leftist pro-choice side is a woman's right to choose. No, that's not enough. There's a child created in the image of God in that woman's womb. She's got to then make a decision that takes her life into consideration and the life of that child as well. It's something we all need to recognize. God's word also says that God created life in the womb, Psalm 139, verse 16, and also Jeremiah 1:5, that God called Jeremiah while he was in his mother's womb. The same with Paul in Galatians 1, verse 10. But here's the one that gets me, Jen. Biblically, God says that he knows our name before we were ever even formed in our mother's womb. That means even before conception, God knew Jen Houston, knew David Chadwick, knew all of you who are listening to this particular podcast today. And here's something else that's extraordinary. God says that every one of our names who will spend eternity with him in heaven are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, our names placed there, though, before the world was ever created. Wow. So that implies life. Created in the image of God isn't just at conception, but it's also before conception ever occurred. Who are we? Who are we as mere human beings to create a culture of death that allows blood to be shed by our choices and our hands? And I think that includes the euthanasia argument, which we'll have on another Hopecast in the weeks to come.
Well, you have done a great job of depicting what really is going on here. And I heard somebody else say that abortion is really a religious ritual, and it's to serve the God of self and in your own self-interest. But also, I want to point out, too, you've said the word child many times, and President Joe Biden actually called a baby in a womb a child, and I think that's telling. And another phrase that we're hearing all of a sudden, because it favors the narrative, is women's rights. So now we're faced with, okay, so there is such thing as a woman, and the baby inside a womb is called a child. How do they get out of that?
Well, that's exactly what's going on here. And there's one other perspective that I would be remiss if I didn't mention, and that is the technological advancement of ultrasounds, which allows us to see what's going on in the womb at the very earliest days. How can you in the world deny that's a human life as you look inside the womb and see what happens at the moment of conception and in the few weeks thereafter? It's a life, folks, and if it's a life, it's worthy to be protected, and that's the whole essence of the pro-life movement. We believe that's a child in the womb, and therefore that child is created in the image of God and has rights that we should honor in every possible way. That's the essence of the debate. And you raised something very powerful, and that is with the Supreme Court debate over Supreme Court Justice now-elect Ketanji Brown, that the question was asked her, what's the definition of a woman? And she said, well, I'm not a biologist. She was trying to skirt the whole issue of the woman's debate today. Well, if this isn't a woman, why is there a debate even for a child right now? Why do we even want to take it there if we can't even define what a woman is? I find that odd.
I know. And I don't know if people can hear me rolling my eyes. Like, where is reason? Where is logic? Where is order? Can we have something come back?
Yeah. And this is a little bit of a joke, but I want to end with this. Here's another perspective that someone raised this week is, everyone on the left who is pro-choice, aren't you glad that your mother didn't have an abortion? Because that's always a possibility. And I think everyone who has life right now is glad for that life and glad their mom did not choose to have an abortion. So may all of us plead to the mercy of God to give us wisdom as we move down this very difficult trail over the next several weeks. But I felt like it was necessary and important to give some perspective on what's going on with this major release and leak of this SCOTUS document that happened this week. Jen, any final thoughts?
Well, just how to pray. How would you encourage our listeners specifically to pray right now?
Well, first of all, Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God does have a will in heaven regarding children. Jesus said, "Let the little children, blepos, come to me, for such is the kingdom of God." I think God is about life, not death. Jesus said the thief, the devil, Satan is the one who kills, steals, and destroys, but he came to give life and to give it to us abundantly. So whether we're eating kosher or we are guarding the sacredness of human life in the womb or whether we're trying to protect and feed and clothe little ones and children today, no matter what it may be, may all of us develop a biblical worldview that has life at its center and the importance of life being what we are all about. So pray, "Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bring a kingdom of life to this earth and give those Supreme Court justices wisdom as they choose life." Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Everyone, thank you for listening. Jen, thank you for being with me today.
Thank you, David.
And we will have another HopeCast next week. Look forward to talking with you then.